from KQED.
This is the California Report podcast. I'm Lily Jamali.
And I'm Michelle Wiley.
And on today's podcast, we're going to tell you about something called The Cult of the Dead Cow. It's the subject of a new book out today exploring the oldest surviving group of hackers in the U.S. and their history.
Then we're going to head to San Quentin State Prison, where a group of inmates just graduated from an in-house culinary school.
But first, we're going to start in Sacramento. Governor Gavin Newsom said Monday that our state can't shy away from dealing with disaster. KQED's Katie Orr has that story.
At an emergency management summit in Sacramento Monday, Newsom acknowledged it's been a grueling time for emergency managers and first responders in California. On top of multiple disasters, there have been fights with the Trump administration about financial aid. Newsom thanked first responders for stepping up and said it's likely Mother Nature has more in store. He says as a fifth-generation San Franciscan, he grew up with earthquakes.
You can't grow up in the city without thinking every day about where you're driving or, you know, and where you're standing and whether or not you're prepared.
California has been installing a network of seismic sensors across the state as part of an earthquake early warning system. Newsom has allocated more than $16 million in his proposed budget to finish the build-out of the system. The state is currently exploring how to fund its ongoing operation. For the California Report, I'm Katie Orr in Sacramento.
We're going to stay in Sacramento, where State Attorney General Javier Becerra is suing one of the pharmaceutical companies that's now being blamed for the opioid crisis. The lawsuit filed Monday aims to hold Purdue Pharmaceuticals and its former president, Richard Sackler, responsible for marketing the painkiller OxyContin as non-addictive.
Becerra says that's despite the company knowing otherwise in the early 1990s, before the opioid abuse epidemic.
No one's life or health should be for sale. The California Department of Justice will hold Purdue and Dr. Sackler accountable. Any company in California that thinks that these kind of deceptive tactics are the path to profits will learn that they don't pay.
Lawsuits were also filed Monday by the District of Columbia and Maine. In a statement, a Purdue spokesman denied the allegations, adding that OxyContin represents less than 2% of total opioid prescriptions. Now to a story from this weekend's California Democratic Party convention that almost slipped past us, Michelle.
While the push to defeat Donald Trump made most of the headlines, one party member had a different agenda, highlighting corporate sponsorship of the event itself. KQED's Laura Clivens explains.
Fox, Uber, and e-cigarette maker Juul were among convention sponsors. At a general session on Sunday, party regional director Henny Kelly took her colleagues to task.
What committee should I go to ask this party not to take any money from Juul, who preys on children?
Acting party chair Alexandra Gallardo Rooker responded, asking Kelly how she'd replace that few $100,000 in sponsorship.
Come on, takes a lot of money to run this party and to make sure we win. So Henny Kelly, I would like to appoint you to the finance committee.
And I accept a position on that committee. And if I have to bake 10,000 challahs and sell them on Friday evening, I sure as hell will.
In a phone interview Monday, Kelly said she baked and sold the bread to support a student sit-in to fight segregation back in her college days in the 60s. Kelly says she's serious about that finance committee position and about ethics.
We really want that kind of money out of the Democratic Party. We really want everything we stand for to be ethical, to be for the people, not to hurt the people.
She's also serious about good challah.
I use honey instead of sugar, and I let it rise twice.
For the California Report, I'm Laura Clivens.
I am also very serious about challah.
Have you ever made challah? It takes like 5 hours to make. So that's like a huge time commitment, she's promising.
How many times are you letting it rise? Because she's just doing it twice.
I let it rise twice.
Oh, okay.
So how many times are you supposed to let it rise?
I have never made any form of bread. So you are asking entirely the wrong person, Michelle.
Okay. All right. 2 times rise. That's my...
Duly noted.
That's my vote. Anyway, so let's take a hard left here and move to the cult of the dead cow. the oldest surviving group of hackers in the United States. It's made up of so-called white hats who are considered the good guys in the cyber wars.
Yeah, and a new book out today explores this group's history. I caught up with author Joe Menn and asked him why these hackers are so important.
Maybe the most important thing is all the people they've trained and influenced over the years who are now in positions of power in all of these places. One of them is Alex Stamos, who's the chief security officer at Facebook until recently. He was the one that blew the whistle on Russian disinformation on that platform. So there is a, you know, there's a sort of profound ongoing influence. It's like there's a famous basketball coach who coached a lot of other people that became coaches themselves, and sort of that family tree thing.
How does understanding this group, the Cult of the Dead Cow, and its history shape our understanding of the age that we are in?
But I think the key thing really is that, you know, security work, professional security work, is about power. It's about who has access to what and why. Is it your employer? Is it your government? Is it any criminal who tries hard enough? And so they're dealing with ethical calls all the time. These guys have for 30 years. And now Google and Facebook and the other companies are having to deal with all sorts of moral issues. Should they store information in China? Should they sell information on users to advertisers in the U.S. and then, you know, when they don't really know what's going to happen to it? All this profiling, stuff like that. There are a lot of these moral calls, and there should be robust internal debate inside these companies about what the right thing to do is, because that's what these guys were doing. That's what good security people have done, were doing from the early Wild West days of the Internet.
All right, Joe Menn is the author of the new book, The Cult of the Dead Cow, How the Original Hacking Supergroup Might Just Save the World. It's out today. Thanks so much, Joe.
Thanks, Lily.
And finally, let's go to San Quentin State Prison, to the H Unit Kitchen to be specific. That's where a group of inmates just graduated from an in-house culinary school.
Yeah, the formerly incarcerated are 5 times more likely to be without a job than the general public. And it's hardest in those first 2 years after they are released. As KQED's Mary Franklin Harvin reports, this cooking program aims to change those statistics.
There's going to be beef short ribs, and then there's going to be shrimp on skewers.
Yep. Chicken.
Yeah. And the shrimp have, what do they have? Cayenne pepper, paprika.
San Quentin inmate Carrie Red lists the menu for the Quentin Cook's graduation dinner. Instead of a cap and a gown, Red's wearing a crisp white chef's jacket. He's standing behind a huge cooktop that's crackling with rows of bread toasting on the griddle. Red says it's his time with the guys in the class that will stick with him most.
It's like a bonding experience. It's even weird it's happening in the prison, because you think like prison's like really like you're like tough and macho.
Quentin Cook's is a 16-week program, and one of the benefits of the course is that the men don't have to pay for the ServSafe food handler credential that many states, including California, require of restaurant workers. The certificate's valid for 3 years, which is why the course is geared mostly towards men who'll be out before it expires.
So that they're able to then, you know, save on cost and the educational piece for both themselves and the employer, and can go right into a food handling position.
Lisa Dombrowski is a former chef who co-founded Quentin Cook's with Lainey Melnitzer, a wholesale bakery owner. They both thought the food industry would be a good place for former inmates to get jobs, one where
people won't judge them for their past or their tattoos.
The instructors teach to the inmates' culinary interests. Inmate Derry Brown is bald with a goatee and glasses. He talks about some of the things he's learned in the class.
Accepting criticism constructively, enjoying the food that they cooked, and so the highlight would be making the cheese and the mayonnaise.
Brown and his classmates learned to make cheese from scratch. He's one of 8 inmates graduating. Shortly before their sentences are up, Melnitzer starts helping them find work in the food industry. That's how Joel McCarter, a former Quentin Cook, found his current job in a barbecue shop in Berkeley. He came out to root for the men on graduation night. McCarter's been working in restaurants since his release in 2017.
It's kind of hard having people to ask you for a second chance, but with San Quentin Cook, it's already there for you. So all you got to do is come out and just, you know, reach for it and take it. And it was a blessing, it's been a blessing in my life.
That was KQED's Mary Franklin Harvin, who also visited Joel at the restaurant where he now works. That story beyond tomorrow.
And congratulations to this class of the Quentin Cook's chef. This is the 5th class to graduate since 2016.
And that's the California Report for Tuesday, June 4th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Michelle Wiley.
And I'm Lily Jamali. Have a great day.
Support for the California Report comes from Energy Upgrade California, urging Californians to keep it golden through simple acts like unplugging unused devices. EnergyUpgradeCalifornia.org. Bridge Bank, a division of Western Alliance Bank, offering flexible financial solutions to entrepreneurs and to the technology and life science communities. Bridge Bank, be bold, venture wisely. And Collective Health. Collective Create, the conference for HR and benefits leaders, is June 18th and 19th. Learn more at collectivecreate.com/radio.